The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
The true Holy of Holies, he entered into heaven, not with the blood of an animal sacrifice. He entered the most holy place in heaven, it says, with his own blood. And it says he entered once for all time, and he secured our redemption. He went into the most holy place, into the presence of God on our behalf as our high priest, and he has stayed there.
Aren't you glad that you are continually forgiven, that your mercies are new every day? In the Old Testament, the priest would go once a year into the tabernacle, into the Holy of Holies, and atone for Israel's sins, so that the people's sins were forgiven. Then, they had to wait a whole year for their sins to be forgiven again. In his message today, Pastor Dan will remind you how amazing it is that Jesus has made the sacrifice for your sin and is always in the Holy of Holies in heaven, constantly making atonement for your sin. You don't have to wait a year to be forgiven. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus chapter 25 for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
We're currently going through the Old Testament. We're in Exodus chapter 25, if you'd like to turn there in your Bible. We're also going to look at a couple other passages. We'll look at 1 Samuel, Matthew, and Hebrews. So if you want to go ahead and find those in your Bible so it's easy for you to turn there when the time comes. 1 Samuel, Matthew, and Hebrews. And we're in Exodus 25. Now let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that every week, week in and week out, we can get into your word and you speak to us. And Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. We pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to your word. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be upon me to teach your word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So our last time we were together, we began a study of the tabernacle here in the book of Exodus. And remember, the entire Bible is all about Jesus. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all pointing to Jesus Christ. He comes in the volume of the book. The whole book is speaking of and speaking about Jesus Christ. Even after his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the two men on the road to Emmaus, it says there that beginning at Moses and the prophets, he showed them all the scriptures concerning himself. He gave them a Bible study, taking them through the entirety of the Old Testament, showing them how it all speaks of and points to Jesus Christ. The tabernacle is the greatest portrait of Jesus and his redemption in the Old Testament. The tabernacle is the greatest picture or portrait of Jesus and his redemption in the Old Testament. God gave a picture before he sent the person. The Old Testament picture here is a picture of Jesus Christ in this tabernacle. As we said last time, over 40 chapters focus on the tabernacle, including the entire book of Leviticus. I mentioned last time there are two chapters that describe the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in the earth, and there are over 40 chapters describing the construction and ministry of the tabernacle. That shows how important the tabernacle is to God. If you look back in verse 8 of chapter 25. There the Lord says, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." The tabernacle was a tent, and the purpose of the tabernacle was to provide a dwelling place for God in the midst of his people. And please note that the tabernacle was God's idea. The tabernacle was God's initiative. The people of Israel did not say, "Let's build a tabernacle and see if God comes down and dwells with us. Let's just see what happens." No, God said, "Build me a tabernacle, build me a tent, so I may dwell among you." God is the initiator. God desires to dwell among his people. He desires to be at the center of our lives and have a relationship with you and with me. He's the one who pursues us. In the New Testament, in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, the Word tabernacled among us. God tabernacled among us in the person of Jesus Christ, in the incarnation. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that God was manifested in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. In verse 9, Moses is instructed to build the tabernacle according to the pattern God gives him. And God will repeat this to Moses multiple times here, to follow the pattern of the tabernacle precisely. Moses couldn't change things according to his own liking or his personal preferences. Moses had to follow the pattern given to him by God because the tabernacle was a model of heaven. It's a model of heaven, we're told in Hebrews in the New Testament. God's dwelling place. It's not very big, it's not very large, and it's essentially just a tent. It's very ordinary, very plain. It's made out of animal skins, badger skins, ram skins. And it's just a very plain, ordinary tent. But inside that tent dwelt the glory and presence of God. And again, it's a picture of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53:2 says of Jesus, "There is nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him." Jesus, physically, his appearance was very plain. It was very ordinary. There was nothing about his physical appearance indicating that he was God. But inside, the glory of God dwelt in the person. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says of Jesus, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Outwardly, just a regular looking person, nothing special, nothing attractive. Inwardly, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, just like the tabernacle. And as soon as you entered the tabernacle, the first thing you would come to, the biggest piece of furniture in the tabernacle, was the altar of burnt offerings where sacrifices were offered to God for sin. Then you have the laver, the bronze laver. Everything in the outer courtyard is bronze, the metal of judgment. Then you come to the actual tent, and the tent is divided into two sections, the holy place and the holy of holies, or the most holy place. In the holy place, you've got the table of showbread, you've got the menorah or the lampstand, you've got the altar of incense, and then you have the veil separating the holy place from the holy of holies. In the holy of holies, you have the Ark of the Covenant with the glory of God dwelling above the ark on the mercy seat. And we talked about that the last time. Man would approach from the gate, as I said, and work his way inward towards the presence of God. In the description of the tabernacle found in the book of Exodus, God describes the tabernacle from his dwelling place, from the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, and his description is from the Holy of Holies, and God moves outward towards man in his description of the tabernacle. It's a picture of God's grace. God moves towards us. The Bible says that none seeks after God. No one just naturally decides to seek after God. We only seek after him when God draws us to himself. God is the one who seeks after us. And if God didn't come our direction, there's no way we'd ever go his direction. We're dead in our trespasses and sins, the Bible says. A dead person doesn't do anything. But God, it says, who is rich in mercy, and because of his great love for us, even though we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive through Jesus Christ. It's all by grace. It's all him doing. So the first item God described in the tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. In verses 10 to 22, we looked at that last time. If you weren't here, you can go back to our app or our website or YouTube and listen to it, watch it. The lid, remember, that was placed on top of the Ark of the Covenant was called what? The mercy seat, right? The mercy seat. Look at verse 22. Verse 22. At the mercy seat, God says, there at the mercy seat, I will meet with you and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim, which are on the Ark of the Testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. God will meet with you at the mercy seat, at the place of mercy, where the blood of the sacrifice was applied to atone for sins. And as we said last time, Jesus is our mercy seat. His blood atones for and takes away our sins. It's through his blood that we have peace with God. He's our mercy seat. He's where we go to meet with God. In the Old Testament, as we'll see in a future study, the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, where the mercy seat was located, where the glory of God dwelt. The high priest entered into the Holy of Holies only one day of the year. And that was to apply blood, the blood of a sacrifice, to the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people. And then the high priest would quickly depart from the Holy of Holies and from the presence of God.
Pastor Dan will share the second half of today's message in just a moment. But first, he'd like to take a moment to tell you how you can receive prayer for your needs.
Do you need prayer today? Every week we receive prayer requests from our listeners. If you need prayer for anything at all, we would like to pray for you right now. You can share your prayer request with us through our website, calvaryec.com. Again, that's calvaryec.com, or through our church app, or by calling us at 410-491-4592. And can I ask you to pray for us as well? Pray for the Ring of Truth radio ministry as we bring the Word of God to those who need it.
Thanks, Pastor Dan, and thank you for praying. Now, let's finish today's message.
He didn't stay in the presence of God. He didn't linger there. He didn't spend any longer there than he needed to apply the blood of the sacrifice, because God is holy and man is sinful. And if there was any sin in his life, any hidden sin, he feared that God would strike him down. And so understand, under the old covenant, one day of the year, the high priest could go in with the blood of a sacrifice, and he's going to apply that blood, sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people, and then he's going to back out of there as quickly as he can. And that's the only day he goes in. It's known as the Day of Atonement, because that is the day all your sins from the past year were atoned for. Which is good news, right? It's good news that your sins are atoned for. You know, you would be outside that tabernacle saying, hip, hip, hooray. My sins have been atoned for. I have received mercy from God through the blood of this sacrifice. And it was good news until you sinned again. And then you needed that high priest to go back in and atone for your sins. But he only goes in one day of the year, on the Day of Atonement. So you have to wait until the next Day of Atonement. You have to wait until the next year to have your sins atoned for. And so all your sins were atoned for until you sinned again. And then you needed your sins atoned for again, but then you had to wait for the Day of Atonement to roll back around. So let me ask you a question and be honest. Don't answer out loud, but just be honest. How long after the blood was applied to the mercy seat for your sins did it take for you to sin again? A couple hours, maybe? Half a day, if you're really holy? You can make it that long? It would be better if the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies with the blood of a sacrifice to atone for our sins and then just stayed there, because I'm going to sin again. Just stay in there, because it's not going to be long before I need you to apply more blood, because I'm going to sin. And that would be better if the high priest just stayed in the Holy of Holies and kept applying the blood to atone for sin and not come out because I keep on sinning. Well, listen, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Jot it down. It says, Jesus, our great high priest. That's how he's described in Hebrews. He's our great high priest. It says he entered into the true Holy of Holies. He entered into heaven, not with the blood of an animal sacrifice. He entered the most holy place in heaven, it says, with his own blood. And it says he entered once for all time. And he secured our redemption. He went into the most holy place, into the presence of God on our behalf as our high priest. And he has stayed there. He hasn't come out. The Bible says that Jesus now is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. He's interceding for us in the true Holy of Holies. Our great high priest went into the Holy of Holies with his own blood, and he stayed. And he didn't come out. And every time we sin, he intercedes for us. Now, between the most holy place and the holy place, or the Holy of Holies and the holy place, there was the veil separating man from the presence of God. And when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and the veil was torn from top to bottom. And now we have direct access into the presence of God through Jesus Christ. We come into God's presence. He's removed the veil. He's removed the separation through his sacrifice. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Think about what this is saying. We can boldly enter into the holiest, the most holy place, the true Holy of Holies, into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. Where in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, in the tabernacle, the high priest was the only one who could enter into that most holy place, into the presence of God, and only one day of the year, and only long enough to apply the blood and then get out of there. Now we, you and me, we can enter into the holiest. We can come into the presence of God boldly, confidently, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have access now to the presence of God that the high priest in the Old Testament only dreamed of having. Look at verse 20. We come now into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. For us, the veil that we pass through is not that veil that was in the tabernacle, that was torn in the temple. We pass through this veil to enter into the presence of God in heaven. And the veil that we pass through, it's the flesh of Jesus Christ. His broken body that was sacrificed on the cross for our sins. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father but through me." He's the veil. Now, go back to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And after describing the ark of the covenant, we move from the Holy of Holies, that most holy place where God's presence dwelt. We pass through the veil and we go into the holy place. The holy place. And in verse 23, where we pick it up, we have the table of showbread. The table of showbread. Look at verse 23. "You shall also make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, a cubit its width, and a cubit and a half its height." Remember, a cubit is the distance from your elbow to the tip of your middle finger. You didn't need a ruler or a tape measure in the ancient world. You could just kind of lay your hand there, and that's where I'm going to cut it. And you also had a hand breadth. You could measure with the thickness, the width of your hand. Again, you didn't need a tape measure. It didn't matter if somebody borrowed your tape measure or not. You've got your cubit, and you've got your hand breadth. A cubit was about 18 inches, and so we're given the dimensions here of this table of showbread. And here in verse 23, this is the first use of the word table in the Bible. The first use of the word table in the Bible. And the table, it reminds us of communion. Communion with God. We even use that when we talk about communion, coming to the Lord's table. Coming to the table. And so the table of showbread, it reminds us of communion. It's a table for God's redeemed people to come and enjoy communion with God. And the word showbread, it literally means the table of God's presence. God's presence. And of course, the communion table is where we meet with Jesus Christ and enjoy his presence. And we remember his sacrifice for us on the cross that makes our communion with God even possible. His broken body, his shed blood for us. The Bible says that our sins separated us from God, but God, by his grace, he's made a way for us to have communion. He's restored communion and fellowship for us through the cross, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And remember, this is God's doing. The table is his idea. To just have a table there for his presence. That was his desire. He's the one who desires communion with you and with me. He's the one who prepares a table for us to commune with him.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
With everything you could have listened to today, we're honored you chose Ring of Truth. Whether it's your first time or your 100th time listening, we know that the Word of God brought a fresh perspective to your corner of the world. Did your faith grow with this message, or did it leave you with questions? If you find yourself with questions, please go to calvaryec.com to contact us so we can answer those questions. You can easily and securely fill out the form found under the Question tab. Columbia, Maryland is home base for Ring of Truth episodes, and we want you in our community. So if you're close, let's meet face-to-face. Sunday service times along with midweek service times are available on our website, calvaryec.com. Make sure to mark your calendar to come. For those of you too far away, don't be discouraged. Use our live stream to still be a part of our family. Don't leave our website without looking at the other resources we have provided to strengthen your relationship with Jesus. Before our time is up, would you consider financially donating to this ministry? There are so many more lives to touch for Christ, but we can't do it alone. If you felt a tug at your heart to support us in this way, information can be found on our website, calvaryec.com. Come again for the next edition of Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft, and well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable, a knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.